Let us pray together. Precious God, we thank you again for this opportunity that we might stand again in this awesome place, that we might declare unto this people these words of life. Pray now, Lord, that you will bless again. Give us, Lord, preaching power, so much so that the anointing of the Holy Ghost will fall in this place, not only upon myself, but also upon this people. Bless us now, Lord, that we will hear your voice with clarity. Say unto us, Lord, these things that we must hear. Be with us now as you always have been and promised to do so. Forgive us of our sins and be merciful unto us. And we certainly, Lord, will be ever careful to give you all the praises and glory. How we love you and we call your holy and righteous name. Preach to us, through us. In Jesus' name I do pray. Let the redeemed of the Lord say amen.
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 And amen.
Amen.
Again, turning your attention to the Ephesian letter, the very sixth chapter of Ephesians. Reading only from verses 10 through 13. The Bible declares in the sixth chapter, "Finally be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the forces, world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm." Would you do me a favor this morning? Put a big smile on your face. Look at your neighbor and say, "Neighbor."
Neighbor.
That's not everybody. That's about two-thirds, but not everybody. Neighbor?
Neighbor.
Some of y'all still looking up here. You can't be talking to no neighbor. Neighbor?
Neighbor.
Pastor's going to preach.
What else?
Can I do?
Can I do?
Amen. What else can I do? Verse 13 says that we must take the full armor of God, thereby being able to resist in the evil day. And I want to look especially at the latter part of that verse where it says, "And having done everything to stand firm." What else can I do? You and I must be honest and admit that in this lifetime, all of us will encounter temptations of one sort or the other. And the fact of the matter is that for all of us, temptation by definition can certainly be described as one thing or another. For some people, what might be a temptation for another person is just a matter of choice. And the truth of it is that for both of us, those who are considered under temptation as well as those who consider just a choice, that the fact remains that in both cases, one thing holds true, and that is that these are real issues with real results. You have to understand that in every situation of life, there are consequences, and you have to be willing to accept the consequences of your choices. Say amen.
Amen.
Now, Paul says to the church at Ephesus that they must prepare themselves by being ready to do everything that is within their power to withstand temptation, even in the face of evil. And you must understand that evil exist even in the church. Is it you?
Mm-hmm.
Even within the sacred walls of worship, our minds are constantly busying themselves. Every thought, Reverend Johnson, is not holy unto God. And some of the things that we do in church, and even the things that we carry on outside of the church, would cause our reputations with God to be suspect. Paul says that you've got to ready yourselves to withstand temptation, to withstand evil in the day in which it shows up. And if you ready yourselves, you might be able to come out a victor as opposed to a victim. You do understand that Satan's got your number. Amen. And I want you to understand, as holy and righteous as you are, even you are subject to temptation. Amen. And in all the ways, some simple as a piece of chocolate cake while you're on a diet. No, it's not always some simple as not going someplace that's easy to not go because you really didn't want to go anyhow, but it comes down to those things that cut us to the very core. There are secret things within us that we deal with on a daily basis, and we don't want to talk about that with nobody because it ain't nobody's business but my own. But you and I both know that we're struggling with the issues of life. Quiet as it is kept within the county and the community, some of us are struggling even right now to get in here on Sunday morning. That's why the lights blinked just then. You might not want to admit it, but even your appearing here today may not have been by choice, but by compellingness. Somebody probably told you, you ought to go ahead and go to church. I know you're struggling. I can see it on your face sometimes. I know you're dealing with stuff that you don't want to talk about. You'd rather call a psychic line and talk to some stranger and let them read it, flip a card and read your palm or tell you about something that you really don't believe anyhow, but you ought to talk this thing over with the Lord. Yeah, you ought to talk it over with the Lord, because I'm here to tell you, beloved God, you're not the only one who's struggling. I want you to understand that when Paul addresses this matter to the church at Ephesus, it's an interesting matter even for the saints at Brookville. Because you must understand that he encourages them to ready themselves. Reason why some of us fail, Brother Wynn, because we don't ready ourselves. Oh, Pastor, don't go there with that. Yeah, you've had a relatively good season. You haven't been in any trouble lately. You haven't fractured any of the commandments. All 613 of them that there are, you haven't stepped out of line. You know, you're living pretty good. Nobody ain't caught you. Your name hadn't made the little reel that they run on television there on the public service access channel. You haven't made the papers. Nobody's knocking on your door. You and your neighbor are at peace right now. You ain't throwing trash in their yard while they're not looking. You're not sending your dog over there to do his business, you know. You're not bothering anybody's car. You ain't flattening nobody's tire. You ain't using unusual hand signals while driving your automobile. Y'all know what I'm saying up here. You've been doing pretty good, but I'm here to tell you, evil is waiting for you. Oh, I know you've got a name in the church. Folk bow and curtsy when they see you. They salute you at every opportunity, but I'm here to tell you, your day might just be coming. You ought to ready yourself. And Paul says to them that you must understand that the opportunity, the likelihood does exist that it will happen even to the saints of God. See, you church folk are finicky because you think that only folk outside the church are going to get in trouble. But I'm here to tell you now, I bet there's a witness in the house that even church folk catch a little bit every now and then.
Oh, you can sit here and act all sedate and refined if you want to, but I've seen your scars. I've seen your battle wounds. You've been hurt before, and the truth of the matter is that sometimes you not only slip and fall, but you stay down there for a little while. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't want to talk about that. You want to just get on to the fellowship dinner, but before we feed you, we got to get some business taken care of. I know it's smelling up through the vents. I smell it myself. But I'm here to tell you that Paul says, get ready. Because it's going to happen to you, and you've got to get ready, because if you're not ready, you're subject to fail in your trials. Every trial that comes into your life ought to be a trial with benefits. Are you listening to me? So many times in our church, Deacon Board, we've got so many of the walking wounded, that's why they can't lift their hands. Their arms are still sore, they're in a sling, they can't lift their hand because of the pain and sorrow of sin. David said, we're born this way. Pastor, don't pick at us too hard. We were shaping this way, and shaping is a process, would mean, you know, we were getting pretty good at this thing. But he said, I came out of my mother's womb that way. But I'm here to tell you now, you gotta stop using that excuse in the church. You gotta stop making excuses for your ruthless behavior. You gotta stop making, y'all might as well say amen. You gotta stop making excuses for the way you live outside of the desire and the will of God. Ain't no need of you snarling and growling at folk in the church. Ain't no need of you lifting up holy hands unto folk, that ain't nothing holy. You can't make excuse for what you are, because he says you got to be like me. Come on and say amen with me. So you got to ready yourself. So what is he saying? He says, well, listen, I want you to understand, in order to recognize the possibility, go to the Corinthian letter, pastor, and stop by verse 13 of the 10th chapter, where the Bible says, listen to me, there is no temptation that will come upon you, one that will overtake you. And I like the word overtake in the Revised Standard, because it means it caught up with you. Some of y'all been running for a long time. But I'm here to tell you, you can't run effectively.
Like this. You run like this. You run into stuff. I ain't running into that for y'all. Preaching is good, but I ain't gonna hurt myself.
You can't run like that, because you know when you're running like that, the reason you run looking back, because you know it's some unkept business coming up behind you. Come on now. They say you reap what you sow. Grandma said you can make your bed hard, but you're the one got to lay in it. And some of y'all can't focus on the prize because you're running from the problem. So you might as well say amen. The Bible says it will overtake you. And I'm here to tell you that some of that stuff you did in the dark will show up in the light. Amen. I think old folks say it all comes out in the wash. Amen. But I'm here to tell you that the Bible says that no matter what happens in your life, God has given you the ability to overcome. Look at your name and tell them, I'm an overcomer. He said that there is nothing that you battle against that God has not given you the strength so that you might be able to stand firm. And I'm here to tell you that standing firm ain't always easy. I have a problem with church folk who always want to try to make this Christian experience, this discipleship, look like it's so easy. You ain't telling us the truth about it. Kind of act like it's so easy to be a saint, so easy to be a Christian. It ain't that easy, because I'm here to tell you, you face the same stuff everybody else face. You want to sit here and act like you don't face. I'm here to tell you now that if it was easy, then a whole lot more folk would be sitting in the church. You confuse young saints, and you cloud the issue of testimony when you stand up and all you ever talk about is the good stuff in your life. Tell folk how you've been wounded sometimes. Tell folk how you've been through some stuff so that they'll realize that they're not the only one. Sitting up here testifying about how you got a new job and how the Lord gave you a new car and a new house and new dress and all that stuff, but you ain't telling us the other stuff. Look at the name and tell them, tell me the other stuff. Oh, I'm on to something here. Watch out now, you done got nosy here. I'm telling you now that the Bible indicates that you got to be ready to stand. But I understand Paul That standing ain't easy. Because the fact of the matter is that in order for us to be discipled in the Lord, we've got to be able to stand. Are you listening to me? The casual relationship of the modern day church has gotten us in trouble. Folk talking about heaven ain't going. Everybody talking about being saved ain't saved. I don't mean start no trouble, but I'm preaching the truth in here. Fact of the matter is that you've got to understand that the Bible says also in the Corinthian letter that anybody who thinks himself to be already secure ought to take heed. Yes, Lord, because the minute you start thinking more highly of yourself than you ought, I'm here to tell you the devil will pull your cord. Am I right about it? Yeah, you walk around here bragging and boasting about how you ain't had a drink in there on 25 years, but I'm here to tell you now, the devil will pull your cord. You walk around here talking about, I ain't on no drug, I ain't never had crack in my life. A whole lot of folks said that too, and they're on crack right now. It ain't gonna be me, but I'm here to tell you, watch out for your bragging and boasting. Got your chest stuck all out, your head bigger than any hat could ever fit, and you think you're the only one ain't never did nothing wrong. I'm here to tell you the Bible says you ought to take heed. Tell your neighbor to take heed. Mm-hmm. Because falling can be such a terrible and traumatic experience. You're talking to somebody who's had that experience. I'm not going to try to stand up here and act like my life always been so good. It hurts when you fall. It hurts because it bothers you mentally and spiritually. Anytime that you are not affected spiritually by a thing, it indicates that you're not as close to God as you ought to be. Oh, come on and say amen to me. Sometimes mentally you go through things, you tossing and turning with emotions, but I'm here to tell you that your spiritual man is dying a slow and painful death because you have not hooked up with the Lord. Around here trying to handle things yourself, thinking you big enough and bad enough, trying to do it your way and trying to handle your own business. I'm here to tell you, you need to have a talk with Jesus. And I want to tell you something. You know, that's a good statement, Brother Clark, when we hear folks say, I had a little talk with Jesus. But sometimes that conversation is rough. Because in order for a man to be truly saved, and in order for a man to have eternal possibilities, he's got to be honest with himself. Or herself, sisters, y'all don't get off that easy. You've got to be able to admit that you've got some problems. So he said that falling is possible, and then you and I must understand that falling brings about strange results in different folks' lives. Are you with me here? Some of you, when you fall, you handle it rather well. But I want to tell you that when you fall, beloved of God, you got to realize that falling is the same for everybody. Pastors fall. Deacons fall. Trustees fall. Choir folk, ushers, pew dwellers, they fall. And I want you to understand that when folk fall, that is not an opportunity, nor is it an ideal time for you to mount your high horse. Start looking down them at your wide breathing instrument. I knew it was going to happen. Just a matter of time, child, all that singing and praising God in the church, all that running, look at you now. Y'all don't know nobody like that. But you ought to be mindful that when it happens to them, it could have been you. Oh, thank beloved of God. I'm almost finished. Thank beloved of God how you would feel if folk stood over you shaking their fingers. Stood over you dancing in celebration of your demise instead of reaching down saying, come on, get up off that ground. Because you're not the only one. Others have fallen. He said that you got to get ready. So then you ask yourself, well, Pastor, what else could I have done? I want you to understand something, beloved God. I'm going to sit down here in a minute because it don't take all this time to get it across to you. Okay, well, I just flipped my page. Let me tell you something. The first thing that I want you to understand is that what else can I do? Reverend, I'm trying to live right. But Pastor, I've tried to do what I was supposed to do. I tried to keep myself out of trouble. But I feel like Paul when he said that every time I tried to do good, evil was showing up. Even when I thought to do good, my mind got crossed up. You ever had that happen to you? You set out with such good intentions. You wanted to do good, but somehow or the other, you got crossed up. He said that I'm trying to perform in the ministry. I'm on the choir, Reverend, because I thought if I got in the choir and I sing songs of praise, that I wouldn't have this problem. I got on the usher's ministry because I thought that if I busied myself in many ministries, that I would have less time for the propensity of these kinds of things. But yet, trouble found me. I carried my Bible everywhere I went. I put one in the car, put one in the kitchen, one in the bathroom, and one on my desk at the job. I had one in the trunk in case of a flat tire. I carried a Bible. I even bought me one of them little Bibles that you can fit inside your coat, Reverend. I tried it. I even got me a scripture or two and put it on my wristband. I bought me a nice crucifix to wear around my neck to constantly remind me of my relationship with God. But it seemed sometimes that the closer I tried to get to God, the further and further I fell behind. I tried to worship in spirit and in truth. I came to church on Sunday morning with the right attitude. And before I could get to the door of the sanctuary, Sister so-and-so rolled her eyes at me. Before I could sit in my favorite pew, somebody took my seat. Before I could get myself right, somebody was gossiping in my ear. I tried to do what's right. But evil kept showing up. I tried to pray, but I kept falling asleep because I was tired. I tried meditating, but the children wouldn't turn off the Nintendo. My husband kept talking about what time we gonna eat dinner. I tried to meditate. Fellas, y'all ease up now. I tried to meditate. But every time I tried to go in my closet, I'll be darned if somebody didn't ask me to help them clean up their own. I tried. But I kept falling. What am I supposed to do? Well, first of all, let me tell you something. The first thing you need to do is regroup. Yes, Lord, you need to regroup. What I want you to understand, the Bible says, having done everything. Now, regrouping is a matter of reassessing things. Look at the name and tell them, reassess some stuff. What you got to do is understand what Paul said. The key is, he said, having done everything. See, some of y'all tried a couple of things, but you haven't done everything. Amen. You might as well go ahead and say amen with me. Some of y'all, you know, you joined this and joined that, but you haven't done everything. I'm telling you now that you've got to regroup. You've got to look at yourself and reassess the situation, because you need to, in your regrouping, one of the things you must do is recognize your situation. Because the Bible said that you are up against the schemes of the devil. Now let me tell you how to conduct an effective scheme. Now don't y'all leave here conducting no effective schemes against one another. But what the devil does is, in order for the scheme to be effective, he has to know what you like. Yes, Lord. See, you can't tempt somebody with something they don't like. Oh, y'all might as well say amen. You gotta recognize the situation that you are up against a worthy opponent. Y'all sitting around here thinking the devil got on a red suit with horns and a pitchfork. Y'all been way behind. That dude dressing in three-piece suits, wearing ballet shoes, driving a Lexus, and got rings on every finger. He knows what you like. You ain't got time to be sitting around here trying to pray against some red suit wearing pitchfork guy. What you need to be doing is keeping your eyes on everything that come in your path. You need to be mindful of every hand that reaches out. Be mindful. mindful of every pat on the back, because I'm telling you now, that's a scheming joker, that devil he is. Yes, Lord, he knows what to do with you. So when you find out that you're in a situation, you need to recognize who your fight is against. Don't you be going home, taking it out on your husband and your wife, yelling it, screaming at folk on your job. It ain't, that's not who your fight is against. Ain't no need of you getting mad at folk in the choir coming in here on Saturday afternoon, supposed to be rehearsing song, bringing all that attitude, lip dragging on the floor, got your hands on your hip where your backbone slipped, coming in here to, I really don't want to go home then. But your fight is not against us. They don't need to get mad at the usher because she didn't put you in your favorite pew. You were late. Your fight is not against flesh and blood. You got to recognize who you're fighting against. Because in order to be effective in a fight, you got to know who you're fighting. Some of y'all have been fighting against wrong, knocking down innocent folk and cussing out folk who mean you good and turning off your relationship with friends. Listen, you're going to need somebody. You're fighting against me. Your fight is against the devil. Then you need to also recognize, I'm going to sit down here about 3 minutes now. If you're going to help me, you better come on. You also need to recognize that your attack is coming from all sides. Amen. The devil is not courteous enough to give you a frontal assault only. Your attack will be coming from all sides. I told you to be mindful of folk who reach out and pat you. The devil will use folk now. Look at your neighbor and tell him, don't let him use you. Look at the other neighbor and tell him, I trust you. Y'all wasn't too loud on that part. Maybe you're looking the wrong way. Look behind you then. Talk. Find somebody you trust. Amen. Listen to me. Listen. I'm going to sit down. Listen to me. You got to understand that it's going to come from all angles. Notice the list that Paul gives to the church at Ephesus. He talks about powers and principalities. He talks about high places. He even says from the heavenly places. Oh, if it ain't bad enough, even from heavenly places. Oh, everything that shouts and carries oil ain't holy. Y'all better hear what I said. Everything that shouts and carries oil ain't holy. You better be mindful that even some of the saints of God have fallen for the schemes of the devil. And if you're not careful, you'll be swept up in the same foolishness. Every prayer meeting and revival ain't got your name on it. Some of that stuff you better pray before you go, and sooner pray when you get back home. Because I'm here to tell you, even in heavenly places, it comes from all angles. Then when you recognize that, you got to rely upon His strength. It's right there in verse 10, the Bible said that you got to understand that it is the Lord's strength that you can depend on. I want you to understand that it is the Lord that gives you strength. And no one else can give you that kind of strength. Now there are some folk that don't mind holding your hands for a little while. There's some folk that don't mind coming and sitting up with you a few nights. But the strength that you need is going to have to come from a special place. I wish I had somebody in here. I'm telling you now that the strength that you need is going to have to come from a special place. I heard somebody saying that that you can't have nobody that's going to do you like Jesus. I want you to understand that there are some good folk in your life, and you ought not cut folk off too early, but you ought to realize that ain't nobody in your life going to do you like the one who gave you life. Say amen, somebody. He said you got to rely on the strength that comes from the Lord. Then he said you got to understand that it's also the might of the Lord, because that means He can do whatever He wants to do. Are you listening to me? I'm telling you now that if you're going to get through your trials and temptations, you got to rely upon the strength and the might of the Lord. Why? Because the Lord always has your best interest in mind. Why? Because the Lord always has some better than what you have right now. I know right now you've got some pretty good things, and life is going pretty good, you know, and things are looking up, and you're on a crimson path and everything just going your way. But I'm here to tell you that no matter how good it gets right now, God has always got something better. Say amen, somebody. Some of y'all sitting here now upset because you ain't got a new blessing here lately because you've been hoarding and holding on to that which you already have. I'm here to tell you every now and then you got to let go of some stuff in order for God to give you some new stuff. I'm here to tell you, you don't have to be like the man who built all of them barns thinking that he had so much prosperity that he just kept on sending for building contractors and build me a new barn, I've got more prosperity. Build me a new barn, I've got more prosperity. But I'm here to tell you now that if all you're concerned about is prosperity, I want you to understand that God ain't the only one that'll bless you. Say amen, somebody. The devil will prosper you in order that you will lose sight of the real issue of this matter. Help me, somebody. You got to understand that you have to rely upon the might that comes from the Lord. Then after you have regrouped, you got to learn how to rebound. Say amen, somebody. I'm coming on in now because I want to understand that when you rebound, that means you got to get up from one situation and get back into another situation. Some of us don't understand what it is to be on the rebound. But I've had my heart broken in love before. And you know when they break your heart in love, folks say, well, he's on the rebound. What that means is that that which happened to me before ain't going to stop me from getting to something else. I'm here to tell you, saints, that when you've been in trouble and been down flat on your back, you got to learn how to get on the rebound. You got to learn how to get up off the floor. You got to learn how to stop crying all night long. You got to learn how to stop sending out invitations to your pity party. You got to learn how to stop hanging around folk that don't want to go nowhere, folk that don't want to be nothing, folk that ain't going to let you have nothing. I'm here to tell you that whatever you've been going through, you got to learn how to get on the rebound. I wish I had somebody, because when you're on the rebound, that means every now and then you got to rechange the way you think things. Now I know that there's some of y'all sitting here this morning thinking, well, Reverend, what else should I do? Well, I want to tell you, I've got some good news from all high. Anybody interested in some good news? I'm telling y'all that I learned that you got to summon, first of all, your Jacob spirit. And that is that whatever you're wrestling with, you better not let it go till it bless you. Help me, somebody. I'm telling you now, whatever you're going through right now, no matter how hard it is, you got to hold on till you get a blessing. I'm here to tell you that if you hold on tight enough, if you squeeze it hard enough, if you shake it long enough, a blessing will come to pass. Am I right about it? I want to tell somebody this morning that if you got a Jacob spirit, no matter how you feel, what you got to face, if you face it with the Lord, there's a blessing inside. It's just like the Cracker Jack box. There's a pride on the inside. But if you never open up the box, you'll never get your prize. Am I right about it? I know you've got some popcorn and peanuts and caramel too. It sticks to the roof of your mouth. You gotta pick your teeth, but at the bottom of the box, there's a pride on the inside. Am I right about it? I've had some trouble in my life. I've had some situations in my life, but I learned to hold on till I got my blessing. I learned to hold on till the power of the Lord came down. I learned how to hold on to get what I need from the Lord. I learned just a little while longer, cause after a while, my Jacob spirit shows up. After a while, I feel my help coming on. After a while, I feel the power of the Lord in this place. And I'm so glad, I said I'm glad, that when I call on the Lord, I said when I call on the Lord, that He will, yes He will, yes! He will. He'll hear my cry. I'm so glad. I said I'm glad that every now and then I fell flat on my face. Every now and then I bruised my knee. Every now and then trouble lasted a long time. But I held on. I held on. Yes, I did. And God showed up. Anybody know that God will show up? Anybody know that when you call on the Lord, that He will show up? But then my Jacob spirit got kind of tired, so I had to switch over to another spirit. I call on my prodigal spirit. Because my prodigal spirit says that every now and then I got too far from the peaceful home shore. Every now and then I went after my own desires. Every now and then I wasted what the Lord gave me. But I felt my prodigal spirit showing up. I could hear Dorothy in the Wizard of Oz saying there's no place like home. There's no place like home. Anybody know there's no place like home? I'm so glad. I said I'm glad that in my Father's house there's a room with my name on it. In my Father's house I can lie on the Strata lounge. I can call for a cold glass of water. And the Bible says that when I come home, my dad is waiting to see me. When I come home, he's going to prepare a feast. And I'm so glad this morning that when I've done all that I can to mess up my life, that my Father still loves me. Anybody know God still loves you? Anybody know that God will still love you? Even when you mess up your life, I'm so glad this morning to tell somebody that there's no place like home. And I can't wait. I said I can't wait till I see my Jesus. I can't wait till I see the Lord. I just can't wait to run across the field with my hands lifted high. I can't wait. I said I can't wait till I can tell the Lord thank you, because I'm so glad. I said I'm glad. Some of y'all look at me kind of funny, act like you don't know what I'm talking about. But I want to tell y'all this morning that if you never had any trouble in your life, just keep on living. If you never messed up in your life, just keep on living. If you never messed up anything in your life, if you never failed in your life, just keep on living. Because I know somebody, I said I know somebody that'll look beyond your fault to meet your need. I said I know somebody who will bless you when others will curse you. I know somebody who says come on in when folk trying to put you out. I know somebody who will pick you up and turn your life around. His name is Jesus, the Rose of Sharon, the Lily of the Valley. Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? See ya! See ya! Yes! Yes! What else can I do? Well, I can call upon the Lord. I've done all that I could do. Sometime to mess up, but I can call on the Lord. Because when I rebound, I'm on my way back. Sometime, the love of God, you can get so far away that you don't even recognize familiar places. But it's good to know that He knows who you are. And He recognizes you. He'll tell His servant, get ready, get ready, get ready. My child that was dead is alive. The doors of the church are open. We invite you to live. What else can I do? Pastor, I've tried everything I know to do. Temptation seems to always bother me. What else can I do? I tried to hang around the right folk. And I found out that even some of them were suspect. I tried to stay away from likely situations. I locked myself in my room every afternoon. I come home from work and go straight to my chamber. I didn't go out on Friday or Saturday night anymore. I just waited for Sunday morning. And somehow it found its way into my life. I tried to love everybody. I tried to be nice. And they took my meekness for weakness. I was wounded by those whom I thought would heal me. What else could I do? I did everything. I thought I did, but the Lord spoke to me.
And he said unto me that I am the Lord thy God. I brought you up and I bring you out. And if thy mother and father forsake you, the Lord will take me up. What else can you do? Well, might I suggest Jesus, who died for your sins, died to give you life. They that believe in him, trust him, he will be faithful to his word. Would you come today? Choose you today. Make your choice. The God that you will serve. Because he loves you so much. I said, because he loves you so much. I wouldn't leave here today without an established relationship with the Lord. He hung, bled, and died at Calvary's cross so that you could live. Is there one today? Then we want to invite you, if you have struggled with your salvation, you've had problems, you've been wrestling with issues of life, temptations and trials, setbacks, disappointments, people have hurt you. So you left the church, you considered it and it's not worth it. You got caught up in the issues of life and you just turned away. Come on back home today. Come on back to the Lord. Come on today. Come on back today. And those who are looking for a church home, you're looking, seeking a way, seeking a place that you can grow in the Lord, to be discipled according to every word that he has spoken. To be disciple means to be in his way, to do it as he would do it, to follow him. You're looking for a church home today. Why don't you come? God bless you, Brother Clarence. Whatever you need today in the Lord, why don't you come? I know that the Lord is able. Whatever you're looking for, it's in the Lord. It's in the Lord. Why don't you come today? You're looking for a church home. Why don't you come? You've never accepted him as Lord and Savior in your life. Why don't you come? You've fallen away. Why don't you come? Why don't you come today? Come on today, come on. It's prayer time. Why don't you come now that we might pray together? We invite you to come. We're praying now. We're praying. We're praying together. Why don't you come? The Bible says that the prayers of the righteous availeth much. Our righteousness is in the Lord and not of our own. We seek his way. Bible says that there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. And sometimes our intentions are pure. I don't know about you, but I'd be willing to admit today that I've said that. I meant well, but I must admit that the results were not in the same. So we seek his way and we pray that the Lord would grant us just a portion. Oh, how we love to call his name. While you're standing all over the house, we thank God for Brother Clarence McDaniel, who has certainly been special to us. We thank God for his appearing today in the house of the Lord. And whatever he needs, we know that the Lord will provide. If you trust him and believe, God can do anything but fail. Isn't that good to know? Anything but fail. So the word says that if you don't have it, it's because you didn't ask for it. So today, Lord, we surrender ourselves to you. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. The door has been shut. We're here because we want to be here. And we're praying now because we want to pray. Precious God, in the name of Jesus, your children have gathered around this altar and throughout this sanctuary. And Lord, we are seeking a word with you and a word from you. David told Solomon to be faithful and to not forget about the Lord God who had chosen him. Abraham said to Isaac that the Lord would provide. Joshua challenged the people as to which God they would serve. Your servant Moses led the children of Israel from Egypt to Promised Land and constantly reminded them to seek the Lord, trust him, have no other gods before you. And in his service, Lord, you gave him the commandments that we might follow, Lord, the laws that you've written for us. But our history proved that we were not up to the task. Tried as we may, we fail. Isaiah, I hear you saying, return unto me, O people of God. Ezekiel, Hezekiah, Malachi, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Zechariah, they all stood and declared the day of the Lord. But now, Lord, thank you for what they could not do. Jesus has made possible for us. He has opened up a way of access. He said that if any man would know the Father, he'll know him through me. He said, and if there's any other way you're trying to go, you're like a robber and a thief. So, precious Jesus, we come to you right now. You said that if we ask in your name, the Father would give it just like unto you. Precious Jesus, we're asking in your name. Lord, whatever they stand in need of, healing, deliverance, rest, revitalization. Fix us up where we've been torn. Open our eyes where we've been blinded. God, have mercy on us. For we've sinned before you. And we need you. Hear our prayer, Lord. By reason of our affliction, hear us. Answer us. God, we need you right now. Bless this, your people all over the house. Thank you, God, for waking us up this morning. And see, Lord, you've proven already that you love us because you woke us up this morning. You've proven yourself faithful to us because you gave us another chance. Bless us now. In the name of Jesus, bless, heal, and deliver. In the name of Jesus. Lord, bless the food that has been prepared for the nourishment of our bodies. Bless our seniors who have been around with us for a mighty long time. Thank you, Lord, for their labors. Thank you, Lord, for their tears. That it is not in vain in you. Bless the hands that prepared the food. They that will serve. Bless the moments of fellowship that we share together. In the precious name of Jesus, we do pray.